Good evening. Yes, it is great to be here. I'm glad to be here. I hope that you can say that you're glad to be here. I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord, Psalm 122, verse 1, and all kinds of exciting things that we can certainly pray for. Thank you so much for praying and being a part of the service tonight. If you have your notes here today, we noticed that it says omniscience, which is a very powerful word. I'm excited about this. The definition down there says God's infinite knowledge and understanding of things past, present, and future. Have you ever been told that you are a know-it-all? I don't remember the last time I was called a know-it-all, but I quickly realized it's probably not a compliment. Yes, but we can truly say that God is a know-it-all. There isn't anything he does not know. He knows everything. Nothing ever dawns on God. He's never come out of a meeting and said, I didn't know that. He already knows. There isn't anything he does not know. And this is so encouraging to me that we can trust in him, realizing that he is in control, that he is omniscient. The first reference that I have down here is Psalm 139. I guess what I wanted to do was have some of you even read some of these. I guess, do we need the mic? Is that what we need to do? But let me read the first one, Psalm 139. And we're just going to go through these references. And I probably do need a handout if someone is willing to read any text at all. There, hey, I see some hands already. I will go ahead and get the mic. But Psalm 139 and verses 1 through 12 says this. O Lord, thou hast searched me. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. In other words, over my head, it is just glorious and just hard to understand. Whether thou shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Amazing. God sees everything, even in the darkness. You know, in Proverbs it says that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. This shines some light on that. That even in our sin, even in the darkness of the night, God sees me. He understands me. He knows my heart. He knows my sin. He knows everything about me. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is a know-it-all. You know, that is so comforting to realize that no matter what I find myself in, that God understands and he sees. Go ahead and hand that out. Let's look at Psalm 147. Who would like to read that? Psalm 147. There we go.
Everybody there?
Yeah, 1 through 5.
Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite.
He names the stars. That is amazing. And you know, just as I mentioned on Sunday night, that in the Orion, Betelgeuse, which is in the upper left-hand corner, it's actually his right shoulder. And that star, Betelgeuse, is 2.5 times the size of our Earth's rotation around the sun. 2.5 times. And God created that. And he named them. He knows everything about them. So the next one is Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8, right? No, I'm sorry. Psalm 34. I'm kind of going backwards there. Does someone have that one?
Yes. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Amen. The righteous, the Lord hears, he understands. Then Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 3, we just read the verse that the Lord hears, the Lord understands. And I love this psalm, Psalm chapter 3.
Pastor Silcott, I have the New King James. Is that fine?
Yep, you could read from that unless you want him to take something else. Yep.
Thank you. Psalms 3, 1 through 8, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my... Hang on, let me turn the page. soul, there is no help for him in God, Salah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Salah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Salah.
Very good. Thank you. The picture here, you got to remember the history. This is David running from his son Absalom. Absalom just set up a coup to destroy the king, his dad. And he would stand before the gate and he would listen to the arguments or the problems people had and said, well, my dad David, he is too busy. He can't listen to you. But if I were king, and so he sets this all up and he starts to take over the throne and David runs for his life. David is living in tunnels and caves and tombs. And he's running for his life, and it says right here, many there be which say in my soul, there's no help for him. But he says, the Lord is a lifter up of my head. Have you been ever so discouraged that you're always looking down? Nothing to look forward to. But David says, he's a lifter up of my head. And not only that, but he laid himself down and he fell asleep. Have you ever been so worried and concerned and not able to sleep? Well, David, even in the midst of this, was able to sleep. Do you know why? Because God already knew. He understood. He could see David's needs. He said, not only did I fall asleep, but I also awoke. I got up the next day. Wow, what a hope and a comfort that God is in control. So not only Psalm chapter 3, but then the next one is Proverbs 15, verse 3. Do you have that one? Are they up here on the screen? Sometimes Psalm 3:8 is that one. There we go. Proverbs 15:3.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
The eyes of the Lord, his eyes, he sees, he understands, he knows our needs. So Proverbs, and then Job 23:10.
But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Yes, he knoweth the way that I take. He sees us. He understands. And then Isaiah 29:15.
I'll read it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dana. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?
Yes. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Remember the other verse that says that even in the darkness, it's like the day. God sees it. He understands. Daniel 2:21. This is the whole reason for this study. Daniel 2:21. Who would like to read that one right here on the screen?
And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding.
Very good. He sets up kings, removeth them. You know, what a time that we're in the midst of here in America. God understands. He knows. And, you know, he knows the end. He knows what's going to happen. And we can trust in him and realize. Jonah chapter 1. This one here. Jonah chapter 1. Referring to the fact that God sees everything. That God is everywhere present. There isn't anywhere that God is not. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. If I make my bed in heaven, he is there. But let's look at Jonah chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. It's come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Isn't that interesting? Tell me something. Where is Jonah think he's going? I mean, God is already there. God is already there. And he sees. He understands. That's always amazing to me. Where does Jonah think he's going? He's running away from the Lord. And even before he gets there, God's already there. He's already there. We can't run from him. He knows. He understands. Here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 6.
Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
He knows what we already need, and he understands our thoughts. He hears our prayers. He understands our prayers because he's omniscient. He knows everything. There isn't anything that God does not know. We could pray to him. He understands. And, you know, some people think, well, since God already knows what I'm going to pray, why should I pray? because he asks us to, because he wants us to. You know, just like parents with a son or a child that you haven't heard from a long time, you want to hear from them. And same thing with our Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from us. Yes. So here's the next one. Matthew, what was the last one? Matthew 6:8? All right. So, yep, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Yes.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
That's right. Very good. God even knows how many hairs on the top of your head. And I can share with you today that I am an example of the fact that God knows how to subtract. He knows everything. Everything. And he even knows the birds of the sky, and he feeds them. He's an all-seeing, all-knowing God, and we can trust him. Hebrews 4:13.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Yes, open unto the eyes of him that whom we have to do. He sees our needs. 1 Peter 2:17.
Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Very good. Yep. Yep, even though we might not agree with our president, we should pray for him. We should pray for him. Pray for America and the needs of America. 1 Peter 3, verses 12 through 15.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good?
Mm-hmm. Who is he that will harm you? Yes.
Yep. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Mm-hmm. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Yep. Always ready to give an answer to the hope that is within us, to know what God has done for us. We have a hope, eternal life. And even though things don't go our way and things seem to be falling apart, we have a hope. And that hope we can share with the world that's lost and dying in sin. And hopefully they'll listen. Hopefully they'll heed. Because God is omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. And as a result, we can trust in him. Even when things seem to fall apart and not go our way, we can trust in him. And even in heartache and sorrow. You know, I know that I have been in places in my life where my heart is just broken. It's broken and sorrowful. But yet, deep within, there's still that hope of knowing that God knows. He understands. He sees. And I can trust in him, even in the hardest and most difficult times of our lives. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God. One that we can trust. One that we know can see our every need, our every hurt, our deepest woes. Every time we pray, even in silence, you hear and you understand. You see our hearts. You know our minds, even though down to the last hair on our heads, you have counted. Father, help us to trust in you, even through difficult times, realizing that you are in control. Father, we think of a pastor. We pray for the Storm family. We know that they're hurting. We know pastor has passed away, and we all have feelings and that are hurt and questions, and but Father, you know what's best. We know that pastor is in a better place, and Father, he's with you, and we know one day we'll get to see him again with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for pastor's wife going through what she's going through, and all the details of her life, the things that she's putting together, and I understand she's planning on moving. I just pray you'll protect her, keep her safe, give her strength, heal her body and her hurts, and Father, just comfort her at this time, and for the rest of the family that loves pastor so much, children and everything going on. I just pray, Father, that you work all those details out. But most of all, Father, we know that you have a plan for the church, a plan that you have set down long before we face this trial and test. And Father, I pray that you will lead the pulpit committee to the right man to fill the pulpit, to love these people, to love the community, to be involved in the community, to reach out to a lost and dying world, that this church can continue to be a lighthouse right here in Florence, Arizona. We pray for the food bank and how it helps people in the area and meets their needs. I pray for the school and how the young people are being taught and learning your word, most of all, and how to read and how to serve you. And I just pray, Father, that you'll continue to use the school for your honor and glory. And Father, we'll praise you for that as well. Father, we pray for this week. Got a few more days, and think of Sunday, that we'll all come back again to worship you and to praise your name, and that, Father, your word will be declared, and the lost will be challenged to trust Christ as their Savior, and the saints to grow spiritually in their lives. And Father, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Do we have a closing hymn, or are we dismissed? No closing hymn. All right, you are dismissed. Thank you so much for being a part of the service tonight. I hope you enjoyed that, and it was an encouragement to you.